Well, good morning, everybody. My name's Rob, and I had to pay Bookie quite a fair bit to say all that nice stuff about me. She wasn't going to say all the nice stuff, but anyhow, there we are. Hey, kids, a glass of water. Thank you. Well, up here on the board, we have some words from the Bible, and it says, "The Lord is King forever and ever." And of course, you'll know that we've been talking about that a little bit here today, about the Lord is King. Now, you might say, whereabouts in the Bible does it talk about the Lord being King? Well, it's interesting, in the Old Testament part of the Bible, it foretells, the prophets foretold that the King was coming from the line of David, King David. And then there's the angel. And the angel comes to Mary, and the angel says, "You're going to give birth to a little baby, and he will come from the line of King David." Right? So he is a king as well. And then, Mary gives birth to a little baby, and the wise men came looking for a king. And they were following the star, and as they followed the star, they thought, "Now, where is this newborn king going to be?" So they came to Jerusalem, to where King Herod was. The Bible calls it Herod, but I think that was a mistake, because it was Herod. He killed all those little baby boys under... King Herod. Anyhow, his name was King Herod. And the wise men, we're not sure how many there were, they brought three gifts. They came to King Herod and they said, "Where is this new king that has been born?" And then finally, the king said, King Herod said, "Oh, well, who's this new king? I'm going to get that new king. Why don't you go and find this new king and then come and tell me, and then I can worship him." Yes. So off went the wise men. They followed the star until they came to where the little baby, or the child by that stage, was King Jesus. And they brought gifts. Now, look. They think there might have been three wise men, but we don't really know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But they brought three gifts. One gift was gold. Now, this is real genuine gold that I've got. Oh, it's worth a lot of money. But in the days when Jesus was in this earth, there were lots and lots of kings in different parts of the world. Today, we have 36, I think, worldwide kings or queens. But in those days, and even if you go back in the Old Testament, there were kings of almost every town and that. And what happened was that if a king was coming to visit another king, they would bring a gift of gold, a gift fit for a king. So the first gift that the wise men brought to this child Jesus was a gift fit for a king. All right? The Lord is King forever and ever. They also brought gold frankincense. You ever seen people burning incense to their god? Incense was like a resin. It was a gift fit for a god. I think those wise men were really wise, because they realized that this child was not just a god, but he was God in the flesh. All right, so the wise men were smart. They were wise. They brought gold, a gift fit for a king. Frankincense, a gift of offering to God. And the other one, of course, was myrrh. Now, I've just got a little container here to remind us. But myrrh was something that you would give to somebody when somebody died, and they would pour it on their bodies. So that's a good gift to give, isn't it, to a baby? Hang on. Must have been men, wise men. Yeah, must have been men who brought these gifts. If they were late wise women, they would have brought rattles and nappies and powder and, useful stuff. But here we got, what little child has got use for gold or frankincense or myrrh? Well, let me tell you, these were symbolic gifts. My wife and I have got two daughters. They're now grown up. But Rachel our daughter, when she was born, somebody made her like a stitchy type thing that had her name on it, her date of birth, the meaning of her name, and they brought it in and they gave it to her. Of course, not much use to a little baby, but it was meaningful because it told us a little bit about who she was. When the wise men came, they brought gifts that were meaningful. Gold, a gift fit for a king. Frankincense, a gift fit for God. And myrrh, a gift fit for somebody who was going to die and would be poured on their body. And we know that 33 years later, that little child grew up and he died, and the people went in and they poured these ointments over his body, right? The saviour of the world. All right, so here we have the angel saying it's going to be the king here born, told Mary. The wise men came looking for a king. And when this little child grew up and he was about 33 years of age, as he entered into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, people took off their coats, they threw it down, they took palm leaves, they threw it down, and then they called out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." So right from the Old Testament, and we continue through to the life of Jesus, here we have people acknowledging that he is the King. And then we have Jesus going to be put on trial. And then finally, as he was taken to be put on a cross, or just before he was taken to be put on the cross, the soldiers were making fun of the fact that he was the king. And they took a purple coat and put on him. And they made a crown out of thorns. Even they acknowledged that he was a king. And then Jesus was taken and he was put on the cross, and up above him on the cross was a little sign that said, "The King of the Jews." Right through the Bible, we find out that it refers to Jesus as being the King. And of course, in the book of Revelation and the future, it talks about the fact that Jesus is King. But I want you to use your imagination as I tell this story. I want you to imagine that there coming into a village was a man dressed in poor clothes. And as he came into the village, he would go to the first house and he would knock on the door. Somebody would come to the door, they look out and they saw this man in all, like a beggar man, I guess you would say. And they go, "Ugh," and they close the door on him. And so he would come out and he would go to the next house. But if you happen to look really carefully at that man, you would notice that that man was actually the king. You see, what happened was the king lived in a palace outside of that village, up on the side of the hill, and it was Christmas Eve. And the king thought to himself, "I wonder what the people in my village are doing to celebrate Christmas. And I wonder if there are people who are in need in that village. I'd like to come and help them. But if I come dressed in my royal clothes, wearing my crown, well, the people will all go, 'I'm poor, give me, you know, that's how people are sometimes. So he decided that he was going to dress as a poor man, as a beggar man, and he was going to leave his palace and he was going to come into the village in order to help people who were in need. Actually, that reminds me a little bit about Christmas, doesn't it? Because Christmas is when the king stepped out of heaven and came into this village, we call it the global village, the earth, and he came in order to serve people and to help people and to save people and to rescue people. Well, back to the story. Of course, that's King Jesus, and that's why I've got these here, because the J reminds me of Jesus. All right, so when you eat the candy cane, I hope it's nice and tasty, remember the letter J that I have there for Jesus. Well, anyhow, back to the story. The man, who was a king, in fact, dressed as a poor beggar man, came along and he came to the next house. And he knocked on the door and a man came to the door. And he opened the door and he says, "Yes, can I help you? And the king, dressed as a beggar man, the king said, excuse me, sir, it's Christmas and I'm wondering if you have somewhere where I can stay overnight. You see, I've got nowhere in this village to stay overnight, and I wonder if I could stay with you and your family. And the man said, you come to my home, and yes, my sister is coming with her husband and their five kids, yes, and they're coming to stay overnight, and so all the beds are taken up. I'm sorry, I've got absolutely no room. And with that, the man of that house closed the door in the face of the king, and his excuse for not helping him was the fact that he had no room. Well, the king walked back and came along, and then he went to the next house and he knocked on the door, and it wasn't long before the door opened and there was a lady, and she said, oh, yes, can I help you? And the king said, she didn't realise it was the king, of course, because he was dressed as a beggar man. Yes, can I help you? And the king said, excuse me, ma'am, but I have nowhere to stay in this village overnight. And I wonder whether I could stay with you and your husband and your family. And I promise that I'll reward you. Oh, you stay in our house. I'm sorry, but I'm so busy. Yes, I've got to bake the cake and I've got to cook the chook and I've got to get everything ready for Christmas. I'm sorry, I'm just too busy. I have got no time. And with that, she slammed the door in the face of that man, and her excuse was that she was so busy that she had no time to help a person in need. Pretty typical excuse, isn't it? Well, the king came out dressed as a beggar man. He walked and he knocked on doors and knocked, knocked, knocked. And finally, he came to the last house in the street. And he knocked very carefully because it was an old house and he didn't want the door to fall off the hinges. And he knocked on the door and then he heard footsteps. And the door opened and there stood a poor man. And he looked out and he said, yes, can I help you? And the king, who was dressed as a beggar man, he said, excuse me, sir, I have nowhere in this village to stay overnight. I wonder if I could stay with you and your family, and I promise that I will reward you. And the poor man here of that house said, well, we would love for you to come and stay with us. We would love, but we are a very poor family. We do not have any spare beds. My wife, she is so sick in bed. We have hardly any foods that we could share with you, but hey, who cares? Come in. And with that, the poor man opened the door to this person who is in need and invited the king to come in. Before I continue on with the story, I remember when I was a boy at that height, I didn't understand much about the king, Jesus, or who he was. But I remember my auntie told me about Jesus, the king, and how he wanted to come in to my life. And of course, I was at school with lots of kids, and lots of those kids heard about Jesus, but they kind of made excuses too as to why they had no place for Jesus in their life. But as an eight-year-old boy, I made a choice. I didn't understand it a lot, but I made a choice that I wanted to open the door and invite the King to come into my life, King Jesus. I wonder if you've ever done that. Well, back to the story. So the king, dressed as a poor beggar man, comes into the house, and the children of the house are so excited, and they said to each other, we've got to make him a Christmas present for tomorrow. And so with that, the children ran off and they got little pieces of wood and they carved little models and they got some brown paper and some string and they wrapped it up. And then they took some gifts into where the Christmas tree was. It wasn't a very good Christmas tree, but it was the best they had. And they put the gifts underneath there for the new guest. Well, it was time to eat. soup. What do you do when you have an extra guest come? You add water. So they added water to the soup, and then they spread it around, and oh, they had a lovely time. And then it was time to go to bed. Oh, they only had enough beds for the people who were in the house. And the beds that they had was actually not proper beds. It was just like hay and straw. And so the father, what he did is he went to each of the beds and he took out some of the straw, and then he went into the lounge room where the Christmas tree was, and he put the straw down and he got some old bags and he put it there, and the kids went off to bed, and the king lay down in a bed of hay. Hey? Yeah. Reminds me of the king who, when he came to this world, lay down in a bed of hay. Hey? Yeah. Well, the next morning, everybody wakes up. Time for breakfast. What do you have when you're a poor family? Just some oats. Some rolled oats, or some people call it porridge. What do you do when you get an extra guest? You add water. So they made it up, the porridge, and everybody shared the porridge. And then the king said, well, it's time for me to go. Now, the people of the family did not know it was the king. All they realised was here was somebody in need, and so they were going to help that person in need. And not just because it was Christmas. And so the king said, well, thank you very much for opening the door of your home and inviting me to come in. And I promise I will reward you. And the man says, oh, you do not need to reward us. No, I meant we are a poor family, but I think you are even poorer. No, God bless you. Goodbye. And so the king walks out, and he walks down the main street of the village, and out he goes up the hill till he got to the palace. He called all of his servants together, and he called the driver of his carriage to get the royal carriage with the horse on the front, to get it ready. And then the king went in and he got dressed up all in his royal clothes. And all the servants went running around and they got some gifts. And they brought it all back to the carriage. Even the palace doctor got into the carriage. And now the king, in all of his glory, was going to make an entry into the village again. Well, in comes the carriage. Lovely horses with those kind of things up on their head like that. And they were coming into the village. And they went past the house that belonged to this man. And he was kind of just looking out the window. And he saw the king's carriage and said, oh, it's the king. If only the king would come to my house, I would invite him in. But the king had come to their house, hadn't he? And he made an excuse as to why he had no room for the king. Well, the carriage kept on going and it went past the next house. And there was a lady out the front sweeping away like, you know, ladies always love to do work, don't they? And there she was sweeping away everything, getting it ready for Christmas Day. And she looks up when she sees the king in his royal carriage and she goes, oh, it's the king! If only he came to our house, we could invite him in. But he had come to their house, hadn't he? And did she invite him in? No. She'd made an excuse that she had no time for a person in need. And the carriage went past other houses and all people said, oh, if only, and then finally it came to the house of the poor man. The carriage stopped. The king got out of his carriage and he walked up to the front door of that poor man's house. And he knocked ever so carefully so it didn't fall off the hinges. He knocked on the door. And he heard footsteps. And the door opened. And the poor man looks out and he sees the king and he says, it wasn't me, no, I didn't do nothing wrong. Please, please don't throw me into jail. I am a good, honored... No, no, said the king, don't you know who I am? Yes, you are the king and I have done nothing wrong. Please, I'm a hardworking... No, no, have a look at my face. Don't you recognize me? And the poor man looked at the king's face and he said, do you have a twin brother? And the king said, no, I don't have a twin brother. Why? Well, last night we had somebody who looked just like you. And he came to our house and he was in need and he knocked on the door. And I opened the door and helped him. And the king said, and that was me. It was you, the king, in my house? You mean not only did I let the king in, but I served somebody who was in fact the king. Ooh la la. Do you know that in the Bible, Jesus said, if you help somebody in need, even if it's just with a glass of water, and you do it in my name, you are serving me. So not only do we talk about inviting the king to come in to our life, but we are talking about helping people in need and doing it in the name of Jesus, because then we are serving him. Well, the man from the house, he was so amazed, his eyes nearly popped out of his head like that. And then the king turned around and he called out to James. Now, James was the carriage driver. And James came racing up and he says, yes, your majesty. And the king said, oh, yes, your majesty. And he went back to the carriage and he opened the door and out came the palace doctor. And he went in to look after the man's sick wife. The king wanted to make sure that she was healed. Then the king said to George or James, they were two brothers, James, wasn't it? Yeah. And he said, oh, yes, your majesty. And he went back and he got his other brother who were there and they got all these gifts and they brought them in and they gave them to the children and they were so excited. How thankful they were that they had actually helped somebody in need, somebody who promised that he would reward for serving him. It's interesting, the Bible talks about lots of different crowns, 5 different crowns that are available to the believer. And one of the crowns is to do with your service for him. Well, all the gifts were given out and the children were so excited and they said thank you to the king. And then the king turned around and just as he was about to leave, he said, oh, one day you can come to my palace and you can live with me there. You can eat at my table. It'll be your home. Wow! Because I opened the door to the king. What a wonderful promise. Now I tell you guys, there is a promise from the king, King Jesus, that if you open the door and invite him in, you trust him, you follow him, you obey him, if you do that, there is a palace one day that we can spend eternity with him in. That palace, of course, is heaven. What a wonderful... We're not getting there because we've done good things, no. But because the king, in all of his goodness, has offered it to those who trust him and love him. And off went the king back to his palace to get it ready for that family, for when they were coming to live with him. Of course, that's just a story that I've made up, isn't it? But it's a nice story to tell when it comes to Christmas time, because the king, who is the Lord, who is king forever and ever, came to this earth as a little baby. He grew up. People worshipped him as king, some of them. And he got older and older and older until he went to the cross. And it was there he made it possible for us to be forgiven and to become part of God's family. Have you got to that point where you've opened the door? Because the king is knocking and he wants to come into your life. Let me pray. Father God, thank you that in your mercy and in your grace you sent your Son Jesus, the King, to this earth in order to help us people who are in need. And we want to thank you that Jesus has not just stayed as a little baby, but he grew older and older. And he went to the cross. He went to the tomb. He came alive again. And now he's gone back to heaven, your palace, to get it ready for those who love him. I pray that each of us who are here today will make a choice to open the door of our lives to the King, but also to serve people who are in need, and to do that in the name of the King, in whose name we pray. Amen.